This is the Ultimate Advisor Podcast, the podcast for financial advisors who want to create a thriving, successful, and scalable practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your team, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to level up your advising practice, bring in more assets, and create the advising practice that you've dreamed of. You'll be joined by our hosts, Brian Sweet, who is moving fast towards $1 billion in assets under management. Brittany Anderson, the driving force for advisors looking to improve their operations and company culture. And Dre Redfern, who can help you systematize and automate your practice's marketing to effortlessly attract new clients. So, what do you say? Let's jump into another amazing episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. Today we are diving into, we're going to call it part three of a three-part series, because we have the last of our three new partners in Ultimate Advisor Coaching. I have with me today, Ron Greenberg. As a founding partner of Greenberg and Rapp, Ron has devoted his practice to working closely held business owners and affluent individuals, and has developed one of the leading national firms dedicated to helping clients grow, manage, and preserve their wealth. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brittany. Great to be here.
Well, I feel so honored and privileged to have you here. Our audience got to get a first sneak peek at two of the other partners. We had John on a couple weeks ago, and then we had Brian Heckert on last week. So today we get to know all the magic behind Ron Greenberg. So I would love for you to know, I gave that high level about you and your business, but what really got you started in this industry?
So, yeah, gosh, it goes back to, many, many years ago, my baby days right out of college. I can't say that I had this burning desire and career path in my sights as a kid growing up. As a kid growing up, I thought I wanted to be first a baseball player, second an accountant. The baseball career wasn't going to get me paid. And I found accounting to be a lot more boring and mundane than I thought it was when I got to college. So coming out of college, I at that point kind of knew I wanted to do something in, you know, the sales and people, the world of people, communication, sales. Wasn't necessarily locked in on insurance, financial services, wealth management, but just kind of stumbled into an opportunity at Prudential. And came out of college as a Prudential advisor, cut my teeth there, getting designations and licenses and all that stuff. And after about 7 years, without getting too far afield, after about 7 years of my career as a Prudential advisor, partnered with a friend who I'd met in the business at Prudential, and we formed Greenberg and Rapp. So I'm the Greenberg and he's the Rapp, and we've been doing this together now for almost 35 years.
You know, what I think is interesting there, Ron, when you talked about, you getting into the business and how you're looking at, kind of the sales element a little bit, helping people, not really sure where it goes. It's interesting because I've heard that response quite a bit. A lot of times people who get into this industry get into it in one of those sectors. They love sales. They love helping and supporting people. But they maybe don't imagine growing and running a large company, managing people and processes and experiences and everything that comes with it. So I would be curious to know, Ron, as times have evolved and your focus has shifted, what do you truly love about this industry?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. All these years later, what I love most about the industry is what I loved about it when I got into it and started doing it. Now I have, 30 employees and we have multiple locations and multiple offices. It's complex. And, I've got a COO and an office manager and all these layers of complexity. But what I truly love about the business is being an advisor and combining, I don't want to say even salesmanship, because as a financial advisor, financial planner, I really feel like we are guiding and helping and advising people to make, you know, healthy, good decisions about their financial world, for their business, for their family. So the idea of helping people and having the potential to be a lucrative career, which it has been, very fortunate in that regard, and surrounding myself with great people internally and bringing, you know, great people in from the outside as clients. So, but the working with people, the building relationships, the cultivating those relationships, and in some cases, in many cases, friendships with those clients we've had for many years is the most, that's the most rewarding and fulfilling thing.
Yeah. And you know, I think about something that you said too, and think about, you know, the young advisor coming, because the people that tune in, our audience is full of a wide breadth of advisors. We've got people that are earlier in the game, all the way up to, you know, very seasoned advisors like yourself. One thing that I've really appreciated being, call it like a fly on the wall or participant in some of the study group meetings. Now, if you are listening and this is your very first episode, I'm going to give a little background here. Ron has been in a study group with four other gentlemen, three of which you know, Brian Sweet, Brian Hecker, John Moscheides. If you didn't tune into the last two episodes, you need to, because you'll get to meet a couple of them. And then another brilliant gentleman by the name of Peter Maller. So you guys have been in the study group for, what is it, 25 years now? Yeah, amazing. So something that I've watched happen in those groups is you're constantly looking at ways that you can either enhance the industry, enhance how you serve clients, enhance and deepen relationships. There's always some level of doing even better and doing even more for the industry that's given so much to you. So, with that being said, Ron, what's something that you've personally identified that you think really needs to change in our industry?
Yeah, well, it sort of dovetails into what we're doing here with Ultimate Advisor Coaching, and that is providing really in-depth, higher level training for folks who want to gravitate and raise the bar from where they are today. There just isn't a lot out there, in my experience, of in terms of that kind of, you know, next level training. So our industry has, you know, has gotten pretty gray and pretty old. I've gotten grayer and older myself in 35 years, obviously, but I still feel like a young advisor in a lot of ways. I still have that energy and that zest for the business and the industry, and I want to be more of an advocate for that next level training. So I think what, you know, what the industry needs is, you know, just more intensity and more intentionality behind getting this initial level advisor to a level of competency, getting the competent advisor to a level of success, getting that successful advisor to a level of excellence, and beyond. So you can always raise the bar. You can always be more productive. You can always be more efficient, more effective. We're always striving in this study group you mentioned, Brittany, how to train better, how to, you know, improve and enhance the client experience. So in every facet of our business, whether it's pure insurance advisory or it's financial planning or it's pure wealth management or a combination holistically of all of that, there's always a way to be better, and you can always learn in this industry. It's one of the greatest things about it. It's one of the reasons I'm addicted to golf and skiing, because you can always learn, you can always get better, you can always improve, you can always take it to another level.
You know, I think there's something interesting that I want to pull out here too, that, you know, and I'm thinking again about, were you talking about these different levels of success for an advisor? You know, you get to a certain point, you maybe hit another ceiling of complexity, then you break through that and you get a little bit more success, and then you're like, oh, here's another fun challenge, and then you break through that, and the cycle keeps going for those that are dedicated to that true growth and true acceleration. Now, you said something earlier that I would bet perked some advisors' ears, is you said you have a team of 30 people. I would imagine for some advisors who are in that growth mode, who are maybe coming across some of the challenges that might come with managing people and teams, that they got sweaty hearing that number. That they went, wait a second, 30 people? That's a lot to deal with. So, Ron, what advice would you give on growing teams while growing the business and, how you might manage that because it can feel overwhelming?
Yeah, well, you just don't wake up one day and have 30 people, right? So it certainly evolves over time. And my thought on that is to just do things like that gradually, hire gradually, be smart about when you're bringing people on board, whether it's another advisor or it's a co-advisor or a junior advisor or an underwriter or client service, whoever you're adding, whether it's a client-facing person, advisor, or it's some of behind the scenes. I won't use the word intentionality again, but be intentional about what you're looking for in that person or those people you're going to hire. So, in 1995, when we split from Prudential and became our own firm, we had a total of five people, myself, my partner Tom, and three others. So, almost 30 years ago, but it happened very gradually over time. And even though we're much bigger now, I don't feel like we're that much bigger, because at the end of the day, where the rubber meets the road is the one-on-one relationship that either I or another team member has with that client. And so one of the things that we've done, not getting too deep into what we do and how we do it, is we are almost always meeting with our clients in teams. Almost every single meeting, whether virtual or in person, is with two or more people on the team. That could be two advisors, it could be two advisors and a client service person, two advisors and an advanced, design person. Someone with tax expertise. And I think our clients appreciate that. And one of the things that we've really worked hard to do, and I know Brian Sweet has done this as well, is to make your deliverable, make your value add about the process and the team and the organization, the firm, not about one advisor or one person.
Actually, there's one word here that we're gonna bring to highlight or bring to fruition, and that's the word intentionality. And it's actually funny because that is hands down one of my favorite words to use. If Brian Sweet was sitting here, he would be chuckling right now at this. And I heard something recently, Ron, where a gal we were talking about all that comes with running and growing a business. And when you have multiple businesses and multiple things pulling your attention and how burnout is a real thing. She made a comment to me though that she's like, you know what, Brittany, I believe that all burnout is due to a lack of intentionality. Because when you have intentionality, you have a clear vision of where you're going. And while it may be overwhelming at times, you still have a vision. So, Ron, when you think about, your career and you think about other advisors that you know in your network and have come across, how have you managed to really stay clear on your vision and your intentionality since you've used that word a couple times now?
Staying clear on your vision, your intentionality, from the support system that I have with my study group partners, from the support system I have with my business partners in my firm, and from the boss at home, who, when she sometimes sees or hears me talking about this or that new shiny object, will bring me back to reality and say, "Is that really where you want to spend your time and attention? You really want to go off into that kind of thing? It's going to take your eye off the ball," or yada yada. So, and then key team members too, having great associates. I hate to even use the word employees, but I just our associates are bright, they're dedicated. They get what we're trying to accomplish here. They get what we're trying to grow here. They're a part of that growth mechanism, a big part of it. We've tried to be really creative in how we reward them and bring them in to make them think and behave like owners, even though not everyone can be an owner. But I think it's a combination of those sources: study group members, business partners, my wife at home, and our key team members here, all meeting and talking regularly. And that helps me keep my eye on the ball and focused on the vision.
It's an interesting theme that I think comes about with what you just said. I mean, in reality, so much of success can be attributed to just putting yourself around great people. And, going through the process of trying to not reinvent the wheel. And again, that's what I love about what you guys have cultivated within the study group and now what you're bringing into Ultimate Advisor Coaching is it's this zone of being completely competition free. Now, you guys get on the golf course and you make your bets and do your fun stuff there. You can be competitive all you want, But when you're around each other, there's this essence of, truly leaning in and helping each other and not feeling like, oh, I have to keep my trade secrets because this is how I've grown. It's a, hey, I'm going to share with you. You're going to share with me. We're going to grow together in our own ways by our own vision, and we're going to support each other in that. And I know that that's what you and the other wonderful gentleman joining in Ultimate Advisor Coaching as partners are bringing to the table, is that same spirit and that same collaborative focus. So, Ron, I guess my question would be then is, why at this point, why do you want to support other advisors on their journey to even more success?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Number one, in that I am now a little bit longer in the tooth and I've got the experience behind me, I feel like I have something. I feel like we have something to really offer, something valuable, something that's transferable that can really make an impact.
Hey, Brittany here. Stopping and pausing for a moment to talk about something that we've had so many of you inquire about, and that is our Ultimate Advisor Mastermind. Now, I'm going to start by saying if you are not a growth-minded individual, if you are not somebody who's focused on taking your business to the next level, if you're not focused on engaging your team and helping them to help you in turn level up the business, the service model, how you provide that wow experience to clients. If those things are not your focus, just fast forward right now because the Ultimate Advisor Mastermind would not then be for you. However, if you are looking to take your business to the next level, if you want to experience exponential growth and feel supported along the way, if you want to start working smarter and not harder, if you want to help your team members to work within the God-given talents that they were provided and use those skill sets in a way they haven't yet to help support you in your business, to help them realize their biggest goals, their biggest dreams. If you want creative approaches to marketing, I know that can be an intimidating word, but we're not talking here about the fancy Facebook stuff or, the latest and greatest, but rather looking at how you can market what you do, how you can express how you're different, and how you can truly differentiate yourselves in a crowded market space. If those are problems you're looking to solve, then you absolutely want to go check out ultimateadvisormastermind.com to learn more about how we can help you on your path and journey to growth.
But just because you have that doesn't mean you want to share it and spend the time and the effort and the energy. So, brings me to another aspect of this, which is, our group of advisors in our study group and now part of UAC have worked together. We've seen each other's strengths. We've seen what we each bring to the table, and we're excited to do something more than just grow our own practices, but give back to the industry, which has given so much to all of us. And then lastly, for me, I grew up the son of a teacher, a high school teacher, an educator, and my dad loved to impart his wisdom on his students, and I saw how much fulfillment he got from that, not just during his teaching years, but after his teaching years. Students he'd bump into, students would look him up and tell him how much of an impact they had. And that reward is something that's been missing from that's in my DNA, but it's been missing from what I've done for my years in the business. Yes, I've done some mentoring and of course some coaching with our people here in my own firm, but to do it more broadly, have that opportunity to give back and coach, consult, teach, whatever you want to say. That's certainly something that's in there that I'm excited to bring out and share.
I think those kind of stories are so fun to hear too, because I do believe that whole element of coaching and mentoring, it's either built into somebody or it's not. It's not something that can be forced. So I am so excited to see, that essence that you're going to bring to the table and how that, again, spirit of contribution is going to impact, our coaching members, our mastermind members, and anybody in the future who comes through our programs there. So, you've mentioned a couple times about how you know, with Give and Grow, with the study group, how you guys are contributing and how you are looking at, you know, better, faster, easier, more efficient, you know, those kind of things in how you run your practice. If you could give one piece of just monumental advice to call it an earlier stage advisor to help them not reinvent the wheel, what would that be?
Wow. One piece of advice. There's so many different things that come to mind, but can I give you two?
Okay, fine. I'll compromise two.
So one is so simple yet so elusive in what I see, and that is promise what you're going to promise and deliver what you've promised. Just do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And that, believe it or not, will separate you from so many people. But in terms of not reinventing the wheel and something that is a specific piece of advice or something that's maybe transferable, and that is constantly be looking for ways to improve your average client or average client revenue. So if your average client makes this much money per year or has this much in assets, be always looking to ratchet that up. Look for creative ways through referrals, through centers of influence, through observation, through all the different ways, which we'll certainly talk about throughout the program about, you know, prospecting, networking, but getting upstream and continually moving the needle. And I have a lot of really good ideas on this, I think, that have worked for us in my practice. Constantly be looking to move that upstream. That's the true way that you're going to have more success, more revenue, more profitability, and more fun, because the larger clients are more complex, they're more challenging, they're more interesting, and they know more challenging, interesting, and complex people because that's who they hang out with. I don't know if that's a specific piece of advice, but that's an arena and an area you always want to be focusing on and thinking about as a young advisor, less experienced advisor, or what have you. An advisor just wants to kick ass and do more.
You know, and I think, Ron, those two pieces of advice are so valuable. And honestly, they tie together a lot more than I think what people realize. You know, when you look at that service level offering and do what you say when you say you're going to do it, under promise, over deliver, you know, really making sure that you're leaning into what you've committed to. You know, when you're looking at how you can, let's go into the how for a minute. So how you can get additional asset and or revenue opportunities, depending upon your model, you have to lead with value. It's really hard to capture additional opportunity within a client or a prospective client if you're not fully focused on delivery, on value add, and that's what you should lean into every single time. So I think both of those pieces of advice are absolutely amazing and something for our listeners to really tune into. Simple, but absolutely attainable. So in the spirit of, you know, education and learning, because you kind of talked about this, how, you know, you watched your dad and how that's kind of built into you, that inherent teacher, call it, and that's what you're contributing. We talk a lot on this podcast and in all of our programs about all of the great things that we're reading, absorbing, listening to, taking in, because we are all lifelong learners, every single one of us here. So, Ron, what is a book, and hopefully we can narrow it down to one, what is a book that has truly positively impacted? It could be you as like in your person, it could be your business, just across the board. What was really impactful?
Gosh, I would say it was probably, you know, the one that I've read most recently, believe it or not, Who Not How. You know, you've read it, right? I think you, yeah. So yeah, it's, the concept of it, I don't need to belabor this or go too deep into it. But the concept of it, the message of it is, you know, be more focused and more, you know, keenly focused on who is doing what, so that the right people are doing the right things. Because if you have the wrong people doing things, you know, mistakes will get made, the quality will suffer, the growth will be stagnant. So we've definitely seen that in my organization where we've made some mistakes. No one's perfect. So we've made some mistakes, had some people on the wrong seats in the bus. Getting the right people in the right seats in the bus and filling the seats that need to be filled on the bus is really the name of the game. Obviously, when when you talk about the final 3 feet, so to speak, between the advisor and the client, the advice has to be good. The counsel has to be sound. The recommendations have to make sense. You have to be, you know, advising them to do things that are in their best interest and best for them. Of course, all those things at the really the heart, real heart and soul of our industry and our business. But in growing a any kind of a practice, a small one or a larger one, who is super important. And you realize, well, you don't realize this as a young advisor, because as a young advisor, you're the who for everything, right? You're doing it all. You're wearing all the hats. You don't have an assistant. You don't have a manager, COO, a CFO. You don't have, you know, client service people, underwriters, case designers, people running illustrations, people, you know, building portfolios. You're doing it all. So when you're gravitating and growing towards not doing it all and having others do all the things I just mentioned that are necessary to have to be a great financial steward and an advisor for your clients.
And, you know, you couldn't have chosen a better book. I mean, this feels like a setup and it wasn't. But we've had Dr. Benjamin Hardy, the author on that book. It was authored by Dr. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. Dan Sullivan's the creator of The Strategic Coach. But Ben has been a guest. He's been a guest on the podcast. He's been a guest into our mastermind sessions. And he's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Ron, to your point, when you think about putting the right butts in seats, having the right who's per se, it also frees you up to focus on, you know, what's that, the 80-20 rule, to focus on the 20% of the activities that are going to generate 80% of the results. So if you don't have the right butts in seats, and if you keep that mentality, that starter mentality of, oh, I have to be the doer of all the things, it's actually going to stunt your growth. So you might be thinking in short term, you're saving a couple bucks by not having to pay somebody. But in reality, you're cutting off massive opportunity because of where you're spending and allocating your time. So I love that you brought up that book. I know that a lot of our listeners have actually read that. We have a lot of listeners who are Dr. Ben Hardy fans. So that was an absolutely perfect example. And I know so many people can relate. So as we get close to wrapping, we like to, you know, peel back the curtain a little bit to get to know Ron. So just a question for you here is, you know, what's something that you personally do? And I feel like I already know the answer to this, so we'll see if I'm right. What's something that you personally do to unwind, to relax, to kind of let the stress of your business go away?
Yeah. Well, it's not one thing. It's different things. I'm really overly passionate about exercise and physical fitness. So I try to do something physical every day, at least 5 days a week, if not seven. That's a real stress relief for me. Starts my day off. I always do it first thing in the morning. I'm not a late afternoon or evening guy. And it starts the day off with a great, you know, in a great way, in a really positive way, in an energy increasing sort of way, and a stress relieving sort of way. But yeah, the other things that I'm passionate about are my family, spending time with them, doing anything, any number of things. And if it's just me personally doing something to de-stress, you know, being out in the snow, you know, on the skis is my favorite thing to do in the cold weather, and playing golf, whether it's with my wife, my kids or friends, is a huge stress release as well. It's funny because it can be a stressful game, and when you're not great at it, it can be really stressful, but for some reason it still just relaxes me, you know, being out there in the, you know, in nature for, you know, 4 hours or whatnot. And then having that glass of wine or cold one afterwards. So those are the things that bring me stress relief and lots of fun, lots of joy.
You know, I was going to guess. I had two guesses in my mind, and one was golf, and the other one was working out. So I was pretty well aligned there with those
there
thoughts.
You go.
And I believe
right on target.
See, I knew it. And I believe, if memory serves me correctly, you're a fellow Peloton person too. Is that right?
I am. Yeah.
Yep. See, that is, man, that has been a game changer for me. So Highly recommend. And I know this sounds cliche for anybody tuning in, but creating your morning routine. And we're, all of our bodies are built different, right? And so this is something that I think is such a great way to kind of bring this episode to a close here shortly, is physical activity. I mean, you'll hear people talk about their miracle morning or their morning routine or whatever. If you are great in the morning, then get your workout in the morning. If you are great at, hey, if I can get a midday break, I'm supercharged for the rest of the afternoon. Doing something to move your body is truly a game changer. It adds for clarity. It adds for focus. I could stand on a pedestal and talk about that all day long. The highest achievers that I know all build physical exercise, physical activity into their day on, you know, the very consistent basis, just like Ron laid out here. So Ron,
once you do that, you'll miss it if you don't do it. Once it becomes part of your world, right? When you have a couple of days in a row where you don't do it, you can't do it for whatever reason, you feel it.
Amen. And it's funny because my kids now, like, they know that mom needs her bike ride. And if I haven't done it by a certain time in the day, they'll be like, "Mom, aren't you going to go down and ride your bike?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am." So no,
get down there.
It's so true.
Yep.
So Ron, as we wrap up the episode here, you know, what final piece of knowledge, genius, advice would you like to leave for our listening audience?
Be curious and never think you have all the answers, and always be interested in learning and growing and listening to others. You might listen to a lot of what you think to be hogwash, but if you don't listen with both ears open, you can always filter out what you don't like and what doesn't work for you, or what you don't think will work for you, or what you don't think makes sense. But stay open-minded, stay curious, stay in that learning zone always, because you're never too old to keep learning and improving.
That is absolutely valuable. Ron, thank you for sharing your time with all of us today. Truly, truly appreciate it.
Pleasure was mine.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up today's episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. We'll catch you right back here next week.